you're in the same shoes as the inventors of other major imaging and technologies in general. You're kind of like to photography what Philo Farnsworth was to television, the originator of the system that we grew up with. And does it feel sad in a way to watch what happened to your baby?
Well, it's a long story. And, you know, the original work that we did back in 1975, we took our first digital picture in 1975 with a very crude-looking portable digital camera. A lot has happened since then. And not only from a technology point of view, but also from a business model point of view. And so I'm very happy to have been able to experience and be part of the development of this entire digital imaging chain over the last 30 years. Because, quite frankly, there are more pictures being taken today than ever before. And that's the whole object behind all of this photography stuff, is to allow people to capture their memories. So,
but, you know, the same time, you've got to be thinking to yourself, this all could have been happening here. This all could have been done by thousands of people like yourself right here in Rochester, New York, and you could have had a hand in not only creating this technology and facilitating it in its beginnings, but moving it forward to blossoming the way it has today. Does that hurt to some degree that that got away? Not by anything that you and your colleagues did in the development staff, but by things that were happening in the front office at 343 State.
Well, I think it's a long story that unfolded over 30 years. And over that time, there were hundreds, thousands of men and women at Eastman Kodak Company that were pioneering digital photography. And many of the fundamental inventions that are a part of digital photography were done at Kodak. And so we watched this develop over the years. But when it got to – there's many other things that changed over that course of time as well. When I first took my pictures in – I took them – it was out at the Elm Grove plant, and we demonstrated this camera in 1975 to management. And there was lots of questions. There was lots of curiosity. And we talked about the possibilities of the future. But we really didn't think about a lot of the other developments that took place, you know, the development of the Internet, for example, or desktop photo printing, you know, or Wi-Fi connections and those things. That really wasn't in our thinking at the time. And so there was a lot of things developed outside of the area of digital photography that definitely impacted its usefulness.
Did they ask you at the time questions that would maybe from hindsight jump out as today, but maybe might not have when the technology was just being introduced? Did they ask you questions like, how soon can we get this to be a much better, higher definition image in full color? How soon can we get the package, which, as you mentioned, weighed about as much as about 8 or 9 pounds. It was as big as a video camcorder was back in the day. How soon can you get this package down for still images, and how soon can you get a digital, high-definition, full-motion image that's as easily portable as a camcorder? Did they ask you questions like that, which would have been the obvious questions for somebody who's thinking, I think I can make a really gangbusters profitable business out of this?
Well, let me first describe what they did see in 1975, and then let me address the issue that you brought up. What they saw was something that was about the size of a toaster. It was a very odd-looking thing. And what it would do is I would walk into a room and I would capture an image of someone sitting there. It would be captured in 50 milliseconds, but it took 23 seconds to record it to my digital tape that was part of the camera. And then the tape was removed and it was placed in a custom-made playback unit where it would be read into there, and then we did some image processing on it. And up, it would be viewed on a television set. So it was filmless photography. In fact, that's what I called it. And it represented a system that didn't use any consumables, no film and no paper. And so, but it was very crude. It was only black and white and only had 10,000 pixels. So that's 0.01 megapixels by today's way of describing resolution. And the pictures were recognizable, but very crude. And so when we demonstrated this system, to get to your question, they asked how soon before this would be viable for a consumer. And one of the challenges you face as an inventor is you spend all your time thinking about the device you're building, and I didn't think too much about the future. But I was asked that repeatedly, and so I used something called Moore's Law, because this was a completely digital system, and Moore's Law was a prediction mechanism by which you could guess at how fast digital technology would advance. And then I called the research lab and I said, well, I've only got 10,000 pixels. How many pixels would I need to satisfy a consumer? And the answer came back, 1 million, 2 million if you want color. So I had to go from 10,000 to 2 million. And I used Moore's Law and I guessed and I said between 15 and 20 years. And so when we talked about it in terms of generational time.
Which would have taken you to a really marketable product by 1990. Well, which actually was a little bit pessimistic. It would have come along faster than that, and probably even faster still if somebody had put a real full-court press on it. But you could basically say to them, I think we'll go into the 90s with a marketable product, and if we do it then, we'll own it. But I take it that wasn't good enough for them.
Well, there were a lot of technical questions, you know, really valid technical questions.
Right.
And one of the things is, remember, Kodak basically controlled most of the technology that it depended upon for the silver halide photographic process. But when you got into this new digital world or electronic imaging world, there were many critical technologies that Kodak did not control or have a vested interest in or have a lot of experience with. And so we had to depend upon developments of microprocessors or digital memory or the personal computer itself. And so there was a lot of questions about how fast that would develop. And then there were fundamental technologies that had to be developed, like the development of charge-coupled devices, image compression, and those things. And that took many years. That took, in my opinion, I think there were valid technical questions to be discussed, but I think around by the late 1980s or by 1990, the technical questions were addressed, or at least foreseeably could be addressed. And then you were looking at challenges to the business model and our established businesses.